Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. I'm Michael Detweiler, your host, and today I'm just excited to have a good friend on the show, Charles Cook. He is a teacher at Avery Trace Middle School. We'll talk more about that. He's also a coach out there. I guess when he accepted the role, they said, hey, you got a coach too. And he probably said, I'll take it. And so, Charles, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to see you. Glad to be here today.
Absolutely. So, one of my favorite things to do, and I get feedback about this quite a bit from people locally, is that I like to ask questions about, you know, where were you born and where did you grow up? And I get a lot of feedback that people like hearing that because it makes it feel like that they know the person a little better. So tell me the story.
Yeah, I was born in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
At Baptist Hospital. My mother was from South Carolina, the daughter of a sharecropper. She was actually born in a wooden house. So you think about how far, you know, we've come just in her lifetime. So my mom was from South Carolina. My dad was from Florida, son of a farmer as well. And he had served in Vietnam. And using the GI Bill, he went to Nashville to attend college. And, or if not the GI Bill, some sort of assistance
sure,
that they had.
And,
So my dad went to Nashville to attend college. My mother went to Nashville as well, and they met there. So I was born in Nashville, lived there till I was five, and then we moved to Spring Hill, Tennessee. Do not imagine Spring Hill today.
It was farmland.
Yeah, it was
right?
That. It was. It was a great place to spend my childhood. It was farmland. We had a little 7-acre plot next to a farm around us, and it was just a great place to grow up. Saturn came in while we were there, and that started to change Spring Hill a little bit. And about the time Saturn came, my dad got an opportunity to come to Cookeville to be the lead accountant for IWC, Institutional Wholesale, as well with some other responsibilities there. And so he moved us here. We moved when I was going into seventh grade,
okay.
So which is actually the grade I teach now at Avery Trace. So that's kind of cool to me.
That's
so
awesome.
Moved here going into seventh grade as a 12-year-old, and I remember being old enough to be nervous about that move and
sure.
And not knowing anybody. And I remember starting at the old Cookeville Junior High is
yes.
Where I went to school. And really just a little overwhelmed. And I had a really great math teacher that first block who did a great job. Got into sports, got into basketball, and started to make friends through sports. So you can kind of see a connection
yes,
here of what matters in my life.
Yeah,
you are. And so through sports, I started to make a lot of my first friends along with some of the kids that lived on my street. Enjoyed Cookeville Junior High. It was a good experience for me. You know, a lot of kids struggle.
That can be a tough age.
It is. And seventh grade was because I didn't know people.
Sure.
And then by eighth grade, once I had started to make friends, it just progressively got easier.
Sure.
But that that experience of not knowing people as a seventh grade teacher now really does influence how I think about the kids
sure.
that show up. So then went to the Cookeville High School. My first 2 years were at the old Cookeville High School where Avery Trace now is.
Where you teach.
That's right. And then my senior year, we moved into the current where the high school is currently. So I got to go to both schools, both locations. So I think that's kind of neat. Got into cross country. I had been a basketball guy. And then before my sophomore year, like right before the school year started, David Little, who had taught and coached there at the high school, he lived on my street, and he and his son Lance were going for a 3-mile run. And I was like, what are you going? Like, why are you going on this 3-mile run? And he said, well, Lance thinks he's going to try out for cross country. So we're just trying to make sure we can actually, you know, yeah. do the 3.1 miles.
Run that far. Yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
So I was like, well, I'll run with you. And so I was able to do it. And so then I kind of thought, well, I'll try out for cross country. That'll be something fun to do while basketball's practice hasn't started yet and a good way to stay in shape. So I made the team and ended up being a lot better at cross country than I was at basketball.
Wow.
I don't know if that's because running, it's just willpower, I guess.
It is.
Yeah. And so got into that and loved cross country, and that kind of, I guess, became my thing when I was in high school. I was a cross country runner, and just loved it. While I was at the high school, I had some really great teachers. Hal Denton for American Government, he was really good. Jack Salee, probably
yes,
out of all my teachers.
One of the best history teachers there ever has been.
Yeah, made just a massive impact on helping me to think intelligently.
Right.
So those were good teachers. I had a really good English teacher my senior year, Miss Wheaton, who I remember probably helped spurn my love for books and discussing books and things. So I had a great high school experience. I had a great group of friends. And I really, really enjoyed my time there. And so it was a very positive experience for me. After I graduated, speaking of Jack Salee, so when I graduated, most of my friends and a lot of people, of course, went to Florida for spring break. But three other guys and myself decided we wanted to go on a camping trip instead. And so we went to the Grand Tetons and nice. Camped out for a couple of weeks and then went up to Glacier and camped out there some and just had a great time. But while we were there, Jack Salee had a little place outside Grand Teton National Park. He had a little place there. Mm-hmm. And when we went, he actually set us up with a campsite. It was where nobody else was. And he showed us this campsite. And then he took us on a day hike in the middle of nowhere with nobody else, you know, around. And it was just one of the best experiences I've ever had.
That's great.
So that probably furthered my love for teachers. After that, I went to Cumberland University on a cross-country track scholarship. Realized I was going to be a very, very mediocre college athlete at best. Cross-country, I was okay. But my first track meet was at Vanderbilt because you got to set this up. There are very few cell phones.
Sure.
Nobody has any, you know, no students have cell phones. The internet is around, but it's so slow. And so like you don't use it a lot. So it's not like you're finding information all the time. So I was kind of mediocre, at cross country. My first track meet is at Vanderbilt. And of course it takes time for your body to develop. You know, and had I had the internet, I might have realized, like, if I stick with this for a couple of years, it'll be fine.
Sure.
But my first track meet at Vandy, there's SEC schools here, some dominant Division II schools were there. I'm running the 800, which I probably should not have been running. I should have been in a longer distance race.
16 or 32.
Oh, for sure. So sure. I line up. It's nighttime. And it's also important to understand that I was dating a girl who was pretty good at track that was watching this happen to me. I line up and, you know, the gun goes off and we race and the first 800 is two laps around. So the first lap around, we get around, I look across, of course, this is a bad thing. I look across and on the other side is the guy who's in first place.
So, oh my word.
Yeah,
so he's a half a lap
yes,
ahead of
yes.
me.
And, but at that point, there were at least a few people with me. Okay. By the time we get around to the home stretch, there's only one person with me. But I'm still mentally like thinking to myself, and I remember this very clearly. I'm thinking like, well, at least there's one other person. Michael, by the time we finished that last part, that guy had smoked me.
He had come all the way around.
So I wasn't just in last. Like the one guy who had been with me is now way in front of me. Like I'm really, really, really in last.
Yeah.
And I kind of at that moment knew like, I'm not a college athlete.
College material,
you know,
that may not be happening.
Yeah, this jump has proven, and it's a job.
It's a huge jump between being the star high school athlete and taking that to college.
Yeah, it is. And for men's cross country, it went from 3.1 to 5 miles for men. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway.
But, and two, boys especially, the body develops later.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you may not get your growth spurt until sophomore in college.
Yeah, yeah. It was – so anyway, I kind of realized then, like, I'm not – to be this mediocre, I'm not interested in putting in the amount of work that I don't have to be this mediocre.
So I'm going to study my books really hard.
That's not what happened. That came later. So what I did was actually some guys from Cookeville decided – that, hey, I had a friend that that you know very well who had gone to Maine and to Australia.
Yes.
And we kind of talked and he decided, hey, why don't he just pitch this idea? Why don't we move out west instead of going back to school. And I was
sounds like something Seth would
that's
do.
That's exactly. Right? Yeah. So yeah. Seth Hudson, yeah. See, so Seth, he didn't want to go somewhere. The way I remember this, he didn't want to go somewhere that everybody else went.
Yes.
Like the Tetons or Colorado.
A free spirit.
He's a free spirit. So somehow, and I don't remember how it all happened, but wound up moving with him and five other guys to Coos Bay, Oregon.
There you go.
And it was great. Like we didn't have any money. Yes. But we
and you all were in a van.
Yeah, we were in a van. Yeah,
if you love Jesus on the back of it.
And you had to keep putting oil in it because it had a massive leak, and fluids to keep it cool. But we got to Oregon. I worked in Kmart while I was out there.
Nice.
But I did go hiking a lot. That was something I enjoyed, and we were in a really beautiful part of America. I mean, it was just gorgeous. So that was a good experience. But long story short,
aren't you glad you had that experience?
Well,
at least?
I am, because to fast forward a little bit later in life, I went to my master's degree at Duke, and the way I got into Duke was my grades weren't quite good enough.
Sure.
And
because Duke's an elite.
Yeah, it's an elite place.
It's not just a basketball school.
No, it's not. And so what cinched it is they had me write this big essay.
Okay.
On like how I had grown as a person and experienced it. And I wrote about moving to Oregon and working at Kmart.
Nice.
And that's the essay that was used to get me in. So if you want to know, kids, drop out of college, move to Oregon, and you'll get into Duke one day.
So the advice you're listening to is Charles Cook. He is a teacher currently. Yeah, I mean, depends on when Alma hears this.
Yeah, right.
At Avery Trace Middle School. He's also a coach. And when we come back, we're going to hear more about this exciting life and times of Charles Cook here on Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm Michael Detweiler, your host. Today I've got Avery Trace, teacher and coach, Charles Cook with me. And when we went to the break, we were talking about how he wrote an essay of his Western trip and living out there to get in to Duke University. Duke, obviously, for those of us that know, is not only a basketball school, but it's a very elite university. Would that be a fair way to say it?
Sure. That's true.
And so anyway, you end up in Duke. So take the story from there.
Yeah. Well, I had enough sense when I was in Oregon to realize I needed to go back to school. Although that was primarily driven at the time to stay on my parents' insurance. So at that time for 6 months or however long it was, you could stay off, and if you went back to school, you could continue to be on it. But if you stayed out of school for so long, at some point it became your own responsibility.
That's right.
Okay.
So it was a heavy lift.
Yeah. So I had enough sense to know that.
Sure.
So I went back to school, moved to Tennessee, went to school in Nashville, to college, Welch College, which relocated to Gallatin recently. Yes. And it's a Christian college. And I met my wife there, who moved from Lexington, Kentucky. And I was a pretty good student. I wasn't a great student, but I wasn't a bad student either. had a good experience there and got a degree in English and secondary education. But then my last year there, I just felt led to enter Christian ministry. And so when we got married. Laura is my wife, and Laura and I got married and immediately moved to South Carolina. And I was a youth pastor for a couple of years. And then after 2 years of that, I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina to go to seminary. And while I was at seminary, I started working for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And I was a supervisor in the Christian Guidance Department. And at that time, Mr. Graham got about 2,500 letters or emails a week.
Wow.
From all over the world. From, you know, and a lot of these were from people that just needed spiritual help or just really struggling with life and what to do. And he was just a trusted sure. voice. And so there were, I think, 18 to 20 writers, and there were two supervisors over the department. And so I would spot check.
Somebody has to answer 2,500
yeah.
Yeah. letters.
A week.
A week. 500 a day.
Yeah. I mean, it was so I would spot check other people's work. And then if it was something that was like really dicey, or if it was from somebody that carried a lot of social weight, mm-hmm. they would pass those up and we would look at those, and either myself or the other supervisor would answer those, or we might get them to, you know, somebody higher in the organization, mm-hmm. really high, that needed to see
sure.
what was going on.
Sure.
And I mean, there were, you know, Christians under persecution in other countries that would sure. get stuff to you. And sometimes people that were under persecution that were very influential type people. So, I mean, it really opened my eyes to a lot of things. But long story short, while I was there, the chairman of the religion department at Duke was working on a biography of Mr. Graham for Harvard Press. And here I am, a seminary student. And one day I'm in a leadership meeting, and I was at the bottom of leadership. So when I say leadership, like, I'm at the bottom. So understand that.
Across the table from Mr. Graham.
No, Mr. Graham and I are not hanging out. They're not asking my opinion,
That's right.
But I'm in this leadership meeting, and they say, like, hey, we have this professor from Duke that has really gotten unique permission to come into the archives here at Charlotte and to go through what we have, and we need somebody to help him. And I'm sitting back there, you know, like, whoa, I'm really wanting it. Nobody else wants it.
Sure.
You know, nobody. I don't have kids at this time. Again, I'm in seminary, and so I got assigned to help him, Dr. Wacker, and Grant Wacker and I we hit it off. Mm-hmm. It was just, I enjoyed helping him. I think he enjoyed the assistance that I gave. And that turned into about a year-long process along with my regular work. I was assisting him. And so he asked me at the end of this year, hey, would you like to come to Duke? And I'm like, well,
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Like, nobody else is asking this. And I'm like, my grades aren't bad. I'm like, but I'm confident there's no way
sure.
that I could get into Duke. And he kind of chuckled, and he was like, you know, you realize I'll be writing one of the references, and I'm the chairperson of the religion department. I'm like, okay. And he said,
his opinion holds a little weight.
A little. And then he asked, what kind of grades do you have in grad school? Cause I'd been going and I'd taken about 10 classes over this 2 year period, been in Charlotte. I was like, well, I've done well. It's mostly A's. I think I'd gotten a B in Greek. Other than that, it was all A's. And he said, okay. He said, then you can write and say, you know, I've shown that I've grown and matured and take my academics more seriously. And you kind of have evidence of that at this point. So that helped. That ties into my wife, because my wife was an excellent student. And once I got married, when I started going to grad school, it was like this thing of, I cannot not make A's.
That's right.
Because my wife makes nothing but A's.
And she quit fooling around.
And she's in grad school actually as well. She's a clinical counselor and she was going to grad school. Mm-hmm. It's like, my wife is making nothing but A's. If I bring on B's and C's,
yes.
like,
this is going to be trouble.
It's, you know.
And in full disclosure here, folks, you're listening to Charles Cook, teacher and coach out at Avery Trace Middle School here in Cookville. Charles outkicked his coverage.
Yes.
With his wife. If you understand the football metaphor that I'm talking about here, he outkicked his coverage. Go ahead with
your
story.
Well, so thankfully, through the good pressure that marriage brings, there's the positive pressure.
Yes.
Yeah. I had become a lot better student and a lot more disciplined. And so anyway, I write this essay about living in Oregon. I apply and I get in. And
he's accepted.
Yeah. And I go to
so
Duke.
Did, so yeah. did Laura say, well, gee, Charles, I didn't see that coming. We're
she
moving,
was
right?
She was ticked.
Was she?
She was the only person. This is the truth. I mean, she was the only person probably like mad about this. Everybody else like, this is awesome.
Oh,
you're going to Duke.
Awesome, yeah.
But you have to remember, my wife is from Lexington, Kentucky.
That's right. Big so, Blue versus. Yes.
So she
Big
is
Blue.
A diehard UK Kentucky fan. Yes. Yeah, it's like John Pelfrey being at Tech to her is one of the greatest
awesome.
Things that's ever happened. Okay.
Same.
Yeah. So her whole, you know, her whole, not her whole life, but since her childhood, this image of Christian Laettner hitting the shot to bury Kentucky.
Yeah, it's burned in the fans.
Yes.
Part of their brain they wish to forget.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And
when they
totally
think of evil, they think of Christian Laettner.
That's right.
I mean, that's... So when I find this out, it's like, Laura's like, you're kidding me.
You're kidding
Like,
me.
You got in?
Go
We're going? What?
At least she had blue to wear.
Well,
the
that's...
Logo,
yeah.
The logo wasn't good.
Yeah, well, it didn't help that... And if you ask her, she'll tell you about this. It didn't help that the first... So when we move, the first day we're there... And we go into where the student center where they sell all the gear. You know what's on the TV screen?
The shot.
Yes, that game is on.
And she's so covering her
it's
eyes.
Like, oh, what am I doing here? You know. Yeah. But that's how I got to Duke and did well again because now I had the pressure of my wife and the way I had gotten in, I really kind of had that chip on my shoulder of like, I'm going to show these blue bloods that
that's
I can.
That's right. I can, I'm supposed
yeah,
to be here.
That I can do
thing.
This.
That's great. That's
and I was 28, 29 when I went. And at Duke, most of the graduate students are younger.
Right.
Because
right.
it's these super bright,
sure,
super
right.
bright kids that,
yes.
you know, so
come
I kind
of all over.
Oh, yeah. So I had that thing too of like, I got to show these kids that this old man.
He can do,
can do it.
That's
yeah.
right. When we come back, we're going to have more with Avery Trace teacher and coach Charles Cook here on Local Matters. Welcome back to Local Matters. I am with Avery Trace teacher and coach Charles Cook, and we've been talking about life, his working with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and going to school there in the Carolinas, including getting into Duke University, which really was tough for his Kentucky-born and bred and UK-loving wife. And so she had to go from one blue blood school to another. So does she even look at Duke basketball games now? Is she sad that Coach K is finally calling it a career or what?
Well, it's kind of tough for her because when I went to Duke, actually before I had resigned the BGA, hadn't started classes yet, and we found out that Laura was pregnant with our first child.
Yes.
So Ethan, my first son, was born at Duke Hospital. So it's like, so my wife, she can't escape. Okay.
Right.
She gave birth to her firstborn there at Duke. So Ethan's born there. And then kind of what happened, I realized I could stay to do PhD studies. Well, when my son was born, I just didn't want to spend the next 4 years in a library
right.
or in
it
a research room.
Life.
Yeah, it did. And I just started thinking more and more about what kind of dad do I want to be? And that more and more just led my thoughts back to Cookeville.
Sure.
I've been gone for a decade or more, I guess a little more than a decade. And so I finished out at Duke. And long story short, I moved back here to pastor a church and did that for not quite 9 years and was a pastor here and loved that. And my wife was able to transfer. She works for Youth Villages and she was able to transfer from the Raleigh-Durham area to Cookeville. So that worked out really,
really well.
Yeah, really nice. And so we're here in Cookeville. My second son, Owen, was born and that's the only children we have. So Owen is born here in Cookeville. And which, by the way, just to give a plug, like different hospitals are good for different things. So Duke, like there's some really things that Duke is amazing for. But and this is not just because she doesn't like Duke University, but my wife will tell you, and I'll have to vouch, like the experience with the staff at Cookeville High School with our second son was just as good or better than Duke Hospital with our first son. So I just want to say, Like, they're amazing people that work there at our hospital. Yeah, and our hospital. And Cookeville's blessed. I mean, so we moved back and just my wife loved Cookeville. It didn't take her long to realize, like, oh, yeah, it's a great place to raise a family.
And it's close to home for her.
Yes, it is.
So she's not that far away.
Yeah, close to home. And so all that was good for us. I started getting involved in sports because I had played sports. And to be blunt, the way that I got into coaching was my son. Ethan had a really good soccer coach his first team he was on. In fact, I think it's Dr. Torrance with Motla. Do you know Dr. Torrance?
Yeah. I know him very well.
Oh, man.
I've had him on the show.
Dude, he was incredible.
Yes.
Like, he knew how to challenge the kids. He knew how to get the most out of them. I mean, he knew how to do it in a kind way, but also a way that had expectations.
He's one of the more, I don't know, elite people I've ever met. And we're texting back and forth, and we call, and we
you would never know he's
past
elite.
Each other. I mean,
you
this guy is
that. You would never know that.
This guy is just off the charts smart.
Yeah. So then our next coach, which is volunteers, so I'm not, but it just wasn't good. And I just kind of realized, like, man, you know, if my son wants to learn how to compete and even the rules of the game and how to succeed at this, coaching when you're young matters a lot.
It matters.
I mean, a lot.
It matters.
So my wife and I, and part of this probably came out of church background, we're like, well, we're not going to complain about this.
Sure.
Like, we're not going to complain. We're not going to, what we're going to do is next year, we'll volunteer and
we'll
do
get
it.
Get involved.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that was the approach we took. Like, we're not going to bash anybody. We're just going to do this.
Do you think more church members should
hear, man,
should
that's
hear
probably
that?
Why we
Since
had
you're not
that.
Pastoring
that's,
anymore.
That's probably why we had that mentality.
Sure.
Because as a pastor, I knew, like, it's easy to complain, but it's the people that are like, I'm going to do this and make it better.
Right.
So I loved it. I think due to some prior experiences, kind of realized that kids at a young age can be challenged, and you got to provide structure and challenge for them. And they can step up and do it.
Middle school's an interesting time of life for boys and girls, and that, you know, yes, boys can be challenged at that age to really excel.
Big time.
Big time.
And that all started when Ethan was young, realizing even those kids in a different way can be.
The younger ones.
Yeah. So through that, and this ties into how I got to Avery Trace. So through that, Tom Savage, a lot of people know, very active in the NAACP.
Tom well.
Tom, when I was a boy, paid me a compliment that I've never forgotten, because at that moment in time, I probably needed that compliment. And it was about basketball, and I was a very average player. I was good enough to be on the high school team, but I wasn't like a great player. But we were doing a workout, and he said something to me after a workout that he happened to have walked in the gym that I've never forgotten. Mm-hmm. And so here I am in Cookeville pastoring. We had a gym at our church. I wanted to think about how to maximize it. And so Tom and I talked, and Tom was going to help teach my boys some stuff about basketball. That turned into, let's invite other kids in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that, if you know Tom's heart, that turned into, hey, I'm going to identify some kids that may not get an opportunity.
That's right.
If we don't. So it was a great combination of, church witness,
mm-hmm.
plus this great guy who had been a great coach who was starting to slow down in his work career. So I get into helping. Tom did most of the actual coaching, but I would be there at our church gym, you know, and I would assist him a little bit. So through that, our relationship just really deepened.
Yes.
So after 9 years, just was obvious there needed to be a change. You know, I needed to head in a new direction. New thing, and we didn't want to leave Cookeville. And just, you know, it was kind of a dicey situation, because there was a few months where I didn't know, like, where am I going to work, or what's my job going to be, or what,
do
you
I
know.
Have benefits?
Yeah, oh, man. And it was really hard, just to be honest, it was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom just kept, and there were other people in my life mm-hmm. who kept feeding me positive things. But Tom really, I mean, he reached out to some people within Putnam County and other counties
mm-hmm.
and just went to bat for me. And like, hey, you know, you've got this teaching degree. we're going to help you find a job here. And again, there were other people as well, but Tom, he helped me do that. And long story short, I got an interview at Avery Trace. Mike Mills was the principal then.
Yes.
Funny story about that. Mike was the principal, but they knew he was transitioning out, but it hadn't been announced.
Right.
So I go to the interview, okay? Mike is the principal here. I go to the interview, and he keeps getting up during the interview. He keeps looking at his phone. Now, he's engaged, but there's this assistant principal, Alma Anderson, who's way more engaged.
Right.
And asked me, like, you know, two-thirds of the question, and Mike asked me, like, three. So I felt really good about my interview at Avery Trace.
Yeah.
And of course, with the stuff I'd been doing with Tom and the coaching, it's like, hey, this, this is probably a good fit.
You know, when I texted Mike about you, his immediate response is, can he coach?
And then I
answered, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
He said, fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and so in this interview, Mike got up and left in the interview to take a phone thing.
And you're kind of thinking, boy, that's a principal.
I'm like, this is not professional. This is not like. So I go home and tell my wife, I'm like, well, I think they really liked me because the interview went a lot longer than it was supposed to. And I'm like, and they asked a lot of questions and they were good questions. But most of them came from Alma Anderson, not Mike. And so I'm like, either that vice principal really liked me or she's the one who didn't like me.
Right. Trying to find a reason why I'm not going to hire this guy. Yeah.
Turned out that Alma...
Yeah.
Was going to become the principal.
She was principal in waiting.
Yeah. They were just waiting to announce it.
Yes.
So that's how I got to Avery Trace. And I've loved it. I can honestly say, like, some people don't like teaching middle school.
Sure.
But I think to tie back to the beginning, I think because when I moved here in seventh grade and did not know anyone, the teachers and the people that helped me adjust and helped me thrive, I've never forgotten it.
Yeah, it's full circle.
It's full circle.
They had a profound effect on you. You remember that. See, we moved here when I was going into eighth grade.
So I totally identify
with what you're saying there, because when you don't know anybody, it's tough.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously we moved here in June, so I had the summer to make friends, at least in the neighborhood, because then you didn't venture far out from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so I was able to make some friends who were a year ahead of me in school, but at least I knew a few folks.
Yeah.
And, you know, being an eighth grader, you don't get picked on by many ninth graders if you got buddies who
that are in ninth grade.
Ninth graders.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's, you know how that can
be. Well, you know, Alma at school, I love this. She talks about how we should try to say kids' names during the day.
Yes.
Because she talks about the kids that come to school and, like, maybe for whatever reason, no one at their home said their name that morning. And they go home that night, and for whatever reason, nobody says their name. And, like, what if they go through school all day and nobody says their name?
And their name's precious to them.
It is. And I think back to seventh grade, and she brings this up periodically throughout a school year, and how she would, you know, it's important to do that. And when she does that, I remember seventh grade. It's just because I didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. So I remember those days. Nobody said my name when I first moved here. I remember how, you know, at 12, you're aware at that point.
Oh, you are.
Like, you're aware. So I love being a middle school teacher, and I love the opportunity to serve in that role. And I feel blessed to be back.
Well, that's awesome. What a great, great time. So you love coaching?
Oh, love it. Yeah.
You love having quote unquote summers off. I won't get into teachers about that because I have.
We've been at Blitz Week this week, by the way. So I've had to do some training.
So you have had training.
But we do get a lot of time off.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's been fun.
You're listening to Local Matters.